Good day, everyone, and welcome to Hallie's channel. In this channel, we'll be reading Beyond the Spiderwick Chronicles, Book 1. Today, we'll be reading the first chapter, and hopefully you guys enjoy it. So let's get reading. The Nixie Scroll. To my grandfather Harry, who liked to make up stories, H.B. To all my friends and family back in Florida, these images of my old home are for you. TV. Storied old New England is where the vast tale was born. Three kids, an antique house, a book, a dad from daughter torn, an unexpected escapade into a tricksy land with dangers unpredictable, so very close at hand. The kids were tested fearless. The book was lost and found. The dad was reunited then, passed out without a sound. Evil suddenly thwarted like in fairy tales of old. But there's no happy ending, no, because the tale was told. To Tony Desert Lee and his partner, Holly Black, they took the story coast to coast around the globe and back. Then that pair chose the secrets and put them into a book, a guide to all the fantastical for all who care to look. Now each and every single day, the story grows and grows. It wanders beneath ripples, birches, pine, and mangroves. So when you walk among the trees, look close to them and do not blink, because the world you're entering is bigger than you think. So let's go to page one. Chapter 1, in which there are many different sorts of devils. After his mother's died, Nicholas Fergus stopped bothering. His aunt Amarna had told him to be good and not to bother his father, but he decided that her advice could extend to everyone and everything. It seemed that Nick's brother had the same idea. Jules never hung around long enough to bother anyone anymore, so the whole family kept on not bothering each other right up until Nick and Jules' dad suddenly decided to get married again. Leading his new stepsister up to the carpeted stairs, Nick had to keep his jaw clenched to stop himself from shouting. He hated that he had to give up his room and moved in with Jules, who snored all night and woke up the cracks of dawn to go surfing. If his father had married his stepmother after only 6 months of dating, Nick would still have his room, and he wouldn't be stuck with a bedroom-stealing stepsister. Lori was almost exactly his age and the biggest, weirdest loser he'd ever met. She bothered everyone. Nick thought he was being fair about it, too, because he'd been called a loser and a nerd and a spaz himself. He was 11, kind of fat, and bad at sports. While Julian shredded waves and made it to state and track, the only thing Nick thought he was really good at was school. And that was mostly about being quiet and following directions. So, okay, he knew he wasn't cool. At least he knew better than to advertise everything lame about himself. Lori seemed to be proud of the lamest person alive. "What are you thinking about?" Lori asked him, hugging a box to her chest. Her skirt brushed the floor, making the little bells along the hem jingle. Nick cringed and set down another box of her crap on the campy bed. All the boxes seemed to be labeled unicorns, fairies, or books about unicorns and fairies. A few of them had even bled glitter onto the hall rug. "Things I hate," said Nick. "Like what?" Lori tucked a tangle of blonde hair behind her ear. Bracelets clattered at her wrist. He was tempted to tell her clowns, he said instead. "They creep me out." "I hate my name," she told him, like he'd just given her the green light to overshare. "I wish I'd been called Laura Nathana." "That's stupid," said Nick. "Everyone would make fun of you." "I don't care what people think," Lori said simply. She meant it. He wanted to snap at her to tell her that everyone cared what people think about them. But his dad told him to be civil on moving day. He sighed. "Okay, so what stuff do you like?" He looked out her window at the empty concrete shells of houses going up all around theirs. Then it had been in his window he'd like to watch it as workers poured in smooth foundations and cut planks and nailed them in place. He liked to smell the sawdust to see his dad's development was finally really happening. Even though there was still some swampy forest left, soon it would all be cut back and turned into a golf course, swimming pools, and lots of other cool things. Stuff he liked. He'd imagined playing out there with other kids, but the construction was behind schedule. Nothing was done. His dad kept complaining about the weather. It was the hottest summer he could remember. And that, along with the brush fires and water rotationing, had everyone on edge. The sun had turned the grass on the front lawn crunchy and brown, and Nicholas's dad had filled a pool in the backyard, even though he usually fills the pool as soon as they were built. Now, with the rainy season about to start, Nick's whole summer was turning out to be as lame as his stepsister. "I like all this stuff, I guess." Lori stacked books onto her white bedboard shelves. They were mostly fantasy and fairy tales, but she'd set aside a big tome that had gold letters and what looks like a hawk on the cover. "What's that?" he said. "A field guide, so you can tell which kind of fairies are which. I bet there are a lot of ground here, because there's so much nature. You don't really believe in that stuff, do you?" He took the book from her and flipped through it. It was filled with paintings and sketches of things that made their hair along with his arms stand up. They didn't look like fairies. He slipped to the back. "This isn't some kind of ancient magical text. It's fake. It was published in 2005 in New York." "It's a reprint," Lori told him. "Look," he said, turning the book towards her. "It says fiction inside. Explain that. They had to put that there," Lori said, taking it out of his hands, "so that they get troubled or sued. And if you don't believe me, you can ask authors yourself, since they're signing." "Hey, kids," Nick's father called from downstairs in the new cheerful voice used around Lori and Charlene. "Lunch!" After Nick and Julian's mom died, before their dad had decided needed to be to impress Charlene and her wacko daughter, lunch had been cold slices of leftover pizza from the night before, or on at least one occasion, a piece of apple pie with cheese melted on it. Now, apparently, it was alphabet soup and blanc sandwiches with the crust cut off. Nick wanted to hurl. Downstairs in the kitchen, Julian was already sitting in the granite island. Earbud cord hung out from his head, and his thumbs jabbed into the grain console, cradled in his hand. His hair was stiffed with salt. He didn't even look up when Nick sat down next to him. Lori still had the stupid book tucked under one arm. "After lunch, I'm going to look for fairies," she told her mother. Charlene smiled mildly. "Maybe Nick can go with you, show you around the neighborhood?" Nick scowled at his soup. Charlene said okay, but he wished she wasn't around all the time, and he wished we would stop trying to make him be friends with her daughter. Although Charlene did seem to figure it out yet, he was willing to ignore them if they just ignore him back. Lori took a bowl and crumbled a handful of goldfish crackers into it, making a mess. It seemed to matter what Lori did or how bothersome it was. No one was going to tell her to stop. "Fairies," Nick's dad said with a grin, tucking a paper napkin into his collar. "I thought they were only in England down here. The problem, no bugs. I'll get the lizards, though." Nick sticker. "They're not all small, you know," said Lori. She clearly didn't think his dad's joke was funny, which in Nick's opinion only made it funnier. "It's too hot to look for anything," Nick said, smiling down at his reflection in the granite. "Especially things that don't exist." Nick's dad frowned and then rubbed his bridge off his nose. "Maybe we all upset this joke. Hadn't gone over all that well? Go help her look. Keep her from getting lost." Nick pushed all the noodle letters in the soup that spelled lame. Lame like this summer. Like his stepsister. Look how he felt as he slurped his soup down and without saying a thing, followed Lori into the yard. And tomorrow we will read chapter 2. Thank you for listening, and this was Hallie. Goodbye. Hey guys, and welcome back. It's Hallie's channel, and I'm Hallie. So today we'll be continuing the Spiderwick series, and we'll be reading chapter 2. So let's get started. Chapter 2, in which Nicholas goes for a little with that weird book tucked under one arm, Lori walked around the hot, fresh, poured
of the streets like she was on some kind of exciting safari. Sorry if I pronounce words wrong. She tried to peer into a partly finished house. She looked behind buildings as Nick grudgingly trailed along. Lori stopped at the newly made lake with grates under each of the bridge to keep alligators out and a fountain in the middle that kept it from going stagnant, and then kicked off her flip-flops. "What are you doing?" Nick asked her. He wondered how long he had to follow her around. He wondered if you could die from boredom. She tied her long skirt up high on her legs. "Wadding. I thought we were looking for fairies," he said, glancing back at his house. The kitchen window was pretty good view of the lake, so pushing her in was out of question. "I am," she said. "I'm checking for hoof prints on the bank. That would be the evidence that Kelpies live here. Or maybe I'll find reed pipes made by Nixies." "What's a Kelpie?" "A water horse." She dragged one bare foot through the silt and made her voice ominous. "It tricks people into getting onto its back and then drowns you. Spooky, right?" "Whatever. Why would you want to find that?" "I know better than to ride it," she said. "I'm not stupid. The guide tells you how to handle fairies." Nick sighed and scrunched his toes against the fronts of his sneakers. He couldn't have minded going in the brackish water, but his dad would freak. He didn't want to. Nick swimming in anything that wasn't full of chlorine and was always giving dire warnings about jellyfish and riptides to Jules. "You're not going to find anything, you know. Nothing lives here except maybe turtles. They just dredge this lake. They're going to dump in some fish eventually, but no one's get around to it yet." Lori kicked over in an empty turtle shell. "I guess a turtle used to live here. Looks like something got it." She padded over where the tangles of fresh-planted sea grapes met the old woods, where the pinwheel-like palms grew beside the puffy tufts of pine trees. "You must come out of here all the time with Jules. You're so lucky to have a brother to do that stuff with." "Yeah," Nick said. He didn't feel like explaining that Jules was busy a lot with his friends and his girlfriend. It was just none of her business. "I always wished I had a brother." The air got hot and thick and sticky. Nick thought longingly of the air conditioning and the game in his bedroom. Then he remembered his bedroom wasn't his bedroom anymore. No longer his territory. "We're not allowed to walk in the woods." "We won't go far," she said, opening the book and holding it out as she picked away through the scrub, leaving the water and Nick behind. "Be on the lookout for strange footprints or boulders that look like they have eyes, or trees with eyes, or anything with eyes, and especially look to see if you find a four-leaf clover or a stone that has a hole worn through it." "Don't be so dumb," said Nick, looking at the empty turtle shell. "I've never seen anything like that." Lori didn't answer. She just kept going. As he followed, he caught glimpses of her between palm trees and scrub. The different distant sounds of the construction served only to remind him of how far they were from anyone. A storm was coming. In the dim light, the leaves had turned silvery and strange. "This is boring," Nick said half-heartedly. Lori shrugged her flip-flop straps threaded through her fingers, her bare feet crunching reindeer moss as she got deeper into the woods. He didn't want to continue following her, but he didn't want to be standing all by himself like an idiot either. "Have you ever found one?" Nick called, walking through shrubs and caught on the fabric of his shorts. He pulled himself free. "One what?" She was only a few feet away, looking closely at the sides of palm trees. It was grooved with shallow woodpecker holes. Nick jogged over to the wheezed, already out of breath. "Something out of the book." Lori frowned. "I don't know," she said finally. Sans furs had scratched thin lines on her calves, but she didn't even seem to notice. "I guess I've seen some weird stuff. Like, look at that way, the hill slopes over there." Nick squinted. He'd never been even this far in the woods, and he wasn't sure what he was supposed to be noticing about the hill even further on. But it was true that on the hill, long banging trees grew like a beard beside a strange-shaped boulder that resembled a sleeping eye. He shuddered. Either Lori's crazy or contagious, or he was getting a heat stroke. Looking down at his feet, Nick realized he was standing on a patch of clover. He glanced over at his stepsister, but he hadn't noticed, so he squatted down and ran his fingers through the green plants. Just as Nick was going to straighten up, he saw a single four-leaf clover. He reached out and carefully pinched it off at the stem. If he gave it to Lori, he bet that she'd agree to go back to the house. But he'd never found one before, and he wasn't sure he wanted to give it up. He twirled it once in his fingers. Somehow it suddenly seemed greener, more vivid, and through his vision had sharpened. Maybe the clover would make him lucky, and some other kid would move into the houses and save him from the summer with Lori. Searching through his pockets, they came up with a receipt that looked like it had been through the laundry once. He folded the clover inside it and tucked it back into his shorts. Lori squeaked as he looked over guiltily. She was looking up. Rain splashed on Nick in fat, warm drops. Summer Storm, he said, let's go back. But Lori freaked that she was just lifted her hands up and spun around in her hair, plastered her neck, and skirt got soaked. Come on, Nick, she said. Let's pretend that we're tree spirits. That was the final straw for Nicholas. He didn't care if his dad yelled at him, leaving Lori by herself. He didn't care if she couldn't find her way back and get lost in the woods and an alligator ate her. He was going home and playing his video games, and that was that. Turning him back to her, he started walking. He followed the lake around, listening to the raindrops hiss as they hit a splat. The rain stopped as Nick stepped onto his own scraggly brown lawn. He sighed. It hadn't rained long enough to make any difference, just enough to annoy him. He walked in the door and went up to his room, where there were games he knew how to win. Lightning crackled, shooting horizontally through the sky, and thunder boomed. The rain hadn't started up again, but it sounded like it was going to come down hard when the storm blew all the way in. Nick concentrated. If he just collected a couple more mushrooms, he could give them to the old wise woman and collect the Blade of Ultimates. Suddenly, the room went black, and his screen powered off before he could just save or do anything but stare dumbly. He scrambled up off the bag in his new and shared bedroom. Downstairs, he heard his father's voice, but not what his father said. The lightning flashed again, and through the bedroom window, Nicholas saw a pale body out in the wide stretch of grass between the lake and the remaining wetlands. He squinted. Lori. He couldn't remember how long it had been since he came inside, and he wasn't sure if the sky had gotten dark because it was too late or because of the storm. But if that was Lori on the grass, why was she just lying there? What could have his mind shied away from completing the thought? After scrambling down the stairs, he ran to the back door. The lack of rain was rippling overpressive pressure in the air. The streetlights weren't on, but flashes of lightning turned to the sky, bright enough for Nick to see. He ran as fast as he could towards the body before everything went black again. Then he kept running through the dark, only to stop suddenly as he got close and choked up on the screen. A creature lay on its side, its green skin fading to white in places and dry as leaves. Its eyes were closed, and it didn't seem to have a nose, just two slits above a slash of a mouth. Weird tendrils stuck out from the creature's forehead, and brownish ribbons of grass covered its head like hair. It wasn't covered in purple glitter. It didn't have wings, but Nicholas had a sinking feeling that it was going to turn out to be a fairy anyway. And that is the end of chapter 2. I will see you guys tomorrow for chapter 3, and I hope you guys enjoy. Please share the video and like it, and listen to more. This was Hallie Longley for podcast. Bye. Hey guys, and welcome back. It's Hallie's channel, and I'm Hallie. So today we'll be continuing the Spiderwick series, and we'll be reading chapter 2. So let's get started. Chapter 2, in which Nicholas goes for a little with that weird book tucked under one arm, Lori walked around the hot, fresh, poured of the streets like she was on some kind of exciting safari. Sorry if I pronounced words wrong. She tried to peer into a partly finished house. She looked behind buildings as Nick regrettingly trailed along. Lori stopped at the newly made lake with grates under each of the bridge to keep alligators out and a fountain in the middle that kept it from going stagnant, and then kicked off her flip-flops. "What are you doing?" Nick asked her. He wondered how long he had to follow her around. He wondered if you could die from boredom. She tied her long skirt up high on her legs. "Wadding, I thought we were looking for fairies," he said, glancing back at his house. The kitchen window was pretty good view of the lake, so pushing her in was out of question. "I am," she said. "I'm checking for hoof prints on the bank. That would be the evidence that kelpies live here. Or maybe I'll find reed pipes made by Nixies." "What's a kelpie?" "A water horse." She dragged one bare foot through the silt and made her voice ominous. "It tricks people into getting onto its back and then drowns you. Spooky, right?" "Whatever. Why would you want to find that?" "I know better than to ride it," she said. "I'm not stupid. The guide tells you how to handle fairies." Nick sighed and scrunched his toes against the fronts of his sneakers. He couldn't have minded going in the brackish water, but his dad would freak. He didn't want to. Nick swimming in anything that wasn't full of chlorine and was always giving dire warnings about jellyfish and riptides to Jules. "You're not going to find anything, you know. Nothing lives here except maybe turtles. They just dredge this lake. They're going to dump in some fish eventually, but no one's get around to it yet." Lori kicked over in an empty turtle shell. "I guess a turtle used to live here. Looks like something got it." She padded over where the tangles of fresh planted sea grapes met the old woods, where the pinwheel-like palms grew besides the puffy tufts of pine trees. "You must come out of here all the time with Jules. You're so lucky to have a brother to do that stuff with." "Yeah," Nick said. He didn't feel like explaining that Jules was busy a lot with his friends and his girlfriend. It was just none of her business. "I always wished I had a brother." The air got hot and thick and sticky. Nick thought longingly of the air conditioning and the game in his bedroom. Then he remembered his bedroom wasn't his bedroom anymore. No longer his territory. "We're not allowed to walk in the woods." "We won't go far," she said, opening the book and holding it out as she picked away through the scrub, leaving the water and Nick behind. "Be on the lookout for strange footprints or boulders that look like they have eyes, or trees with eyes, or anything with eyes. And especially look to see if you find a four-leaf clover or a stone that has a hole worn through it." "Don't be so dumb," said Nick, looking at the empty turtle shell. "I've never seen anything like that." Lori didn't answer. She just kept going. As he followed, he caught glimpses of her between palm trees and scrub. The different distant sounds of the construction served only to remind him of how far they were from anyone. A storm was coming. In the dim light, the leaves had turned silvery and strange. "This is boring," Nick said half-heartedly. Lori shrugged her flip-flop straps threaded through her fingers, her bare feet crunching reindeer moss as she got deeper into the woods. He didn't want to continue following her, but he didn't want to be standing all by himself like an idiot either. "Have you ever found one?" Nick called, walking through shrubs and caught on the fabric of his shorts. He pulled himself free. "One what?" She was only a few feet away, looking closely at the sides of palm trees. It was grooved with shallow woodpecker holes. Nick jogged over to the wheezed, already out of breath. "Something out of the book." Lori frowned. "I don't know," she said finally. Sans furs had scratched thin lines on her calves, but she didn't even seem to notice. "I guess I've seen some weird stuff. Like, look at that way, the hill slopes over there." Nick squinted. He'd never been even this far in the woods, and he wasn't sure what he was supposed to be noticing about the hill even further on. But it was true that on the hill, long banging trees grew like a beard beside a strange-shaped boulder that resembled a sleeping eye. He shuddered. Either Lori's crazy or contagious, or he was getting a heat stroke. Looking down at his feet, Nick realized he was standing on a patch of clover. He glanced over at his stepsister, but he hadn't noticed, so he squatted down and ran his fingers through the green plants. Just as Nick was going to straighten up, he saw a single four-leaf clover. He reached out and carefully pinched it off at the stem. If he gave it to Lori, he bet that she'd agree to go back to the house. But he'd never found one before, and he wasn't sure he wanted to give it up. He twirled it once in his fingers. Somehow it suddenly seemed greener, more vivid, and through his vision had sharpened. Maybe the clover would make him lucky, and some other kid would move into the houses and save him from the summer with Lori. Searching through his pockets, they came up with a receipt that looked like it had been through the laundry once. He folded the clover inside it and tucked it back into his shorts. Lori squeaked as he looked over guiltily. She was looking up. Rain splashed on Nick in fat, warm drops. Summer Stormy said, "Let's go back." But Lori freaked that she was just lifted her hands up and spun around and her hair plastered her neck and skirt got soaked. "Come on, Nick," she said. "Let's pretend that we're tree spirits." That was the final straw for Nicholas. He didn't care if his dad yelled at him, leaving Lori by herself. He didn't care if she couldn't find her way back and get lost in the woods and an alligator ate her. He was going home and playing his video games, and that was that. Turning him back to her, he started walking. He followed the lake around, listening to the raindrops hiss as they hit a splat. The rain stopped as Nick stepped onto his own scraggly brown lawn. He sighed. It hadn't rained long enough to make any difference, just enough to annoy him. He walked in the door and went up to his room, where there were games he knew how to win. Lightning crackled, shooting horizontally through the sky, and thunder boomed. The rain hadn't started up again, but it sounded like it was going to come down hard when the storm blew all the way in. Nick concentrated. If he just collected a couple more mushrooms, he could give them to the old wise woman and collect the Blade of Ultimates. Suddenly, the room went black, and his screen powered off before he could just save or do anything but stare dumbly. He scrambled up off the bed in his new shared bedroom. Downstairs, he heard his father's voice, but not what his father said. The lightning flashed again, and through the bedroom window, Nicholas saw a pale body out in the wide stretch of grass between the lake and the remaining wetlands. He squinted. Lori. He couldn't remember how long it had been since he came inside, and he wasn't sure if the sky had gotten dark because it was too late, or because of the storm. But if that was Lori on the grass, why was she just lying there? What could have his mind shied away from completing the thought? After scrambling down the stairs, he ran to the back door. The lack of rain was rippling oppressive pressure in the air. The streetlights weren't on, but flashes of lightning turned to the sky, bright enough for Nick to see. He ran as fast as he could towards the body before everything went black again. Then he kept running through the dark, only to stop suddenly as he got close and choked up on the scream. A creature lay on its side, its green skin fading to white in places and dry as leaves. Its eyes were closed, and it didn't seem to have a nose, just two slits above a slash of a mouth. Weird tendrils stuck out from the creature's forehead, and brownish ribbons of grass covered its head like hair. It wasn't covered in purple glitter. It didn't have wings, but Nicholas had a sinking feeling that it was going to turn out to be a fairy anyway. And that is the end of Chapter 2. I will see you guys tomorrow for Chapter 3, and I hope you guys enjoy. Please share the video and like it, and listen to more. This was Hallie Longley for podcast. Bye. Hey guys, and welcome back. It's Hallie's channel, and I'm Hallie. So today we'll be continuing the Spiderwick series, and we'll be reading Chapter 2. So let's get started. Chapter 2, in which Nicholas goes for a little with that weird book tucked under one arm, Lori walked around the hot, fresh, poured of such streets like she was on some kind of exciting safari. Sorry if I pronounced words wrong. She tried to peer into a partly finished house. She looked behind buildings as Nick regrettingly trailed along. Lori stopped at the newly made lake with grates under each of the bridge to keep alligators out and a fountain in the middle that kept it from going stagnant, and then kicked off her flip-flops. "What are you doing?" Nick asked her. He wondered how long he had to follow her around. He wondered if you could die from boredom. She tied her long skirt up high on her legs. "Wadding. I thought we were looking for fairies," he said, glancing back at his house. The kitchen window was pretty good view of the lake, so pushing her in was out of question. "I am," she said. "I'm checking for hoof prints on the bank. That would be the evidence that kelpies live here. Or maybe I'll find reed pipes made by Nixies." "What's a kelpie?" "A water horse." She dragged one bare foot through the silt and made her voice ominous. "It tricks people into getting onto its back and then drowns you. Spooky, right?" "Whatever. Why would you want to find that?" "I know better than to ride it," she said. "I'm not stupid. The guide tells you how to handle fairies." Nick sighed and scrunched his toes against the fronts of his sneakers. He couldn't have minded going in the brackish water, but his dad would freak. He didn't want to. Nick, swimming in anything that wasn't full of chlorine and was always giving dire warnings about jellyfish and riptides to Jules. "You're not going to find anything, you know. Nothing lives here except maybe turtles. They just dredge this lake. They're going to dump in some fish eventually, but no one's get around to it yet." Lori kicked over in an empty turtle shell. "I guess a turtle used to live here. Looks like something got it." She padded over where the tangles of fresh-planted sea grapes met the old woods, where the pinwheel-like palms grew besides the puffy tufts of pine trees. "You must come out of here all the time with Jules. You're so lucky to have a brother to do that stuff with." "Yeah," Nick said. He didn't feel like explaining that Jules was busy a lot with his friends and his girlfriend. It was just none of her business. "I always wished I had a brother." The air got hot and thick and sticky. Nick thought longingly of the air conditioning and the game in his bedroom. Then he remembered his bedroom wasn't his bedroom anymore. No longer his territory. "We're not allowed to walk in the woods." "We won't go far," she said, opening the book and holding it out as she picked away through the scrub, leaving the water and Nick behind. "Be on the lookout for strange footprints or boulders that look like they have eyes, or trees with eyes, or anything with eyes, and especially look to see if you find a four-leaf clover or a stone that has a hole worn through it." "Don't be so dumb," said Nick, looking at the empty turtle shell. "I've never seen anything like that." Lori didn't answer. She just kept going. As he followed, he caught glimpses of her between palm trees and scrub. The different distant sounds of the construction served only to remind him of how far they were from anyone. A storm was coming. In the dim light, the leaves had turned silvery and strange. "This is boring," Nick said half-heartedly. Lori shrugged her flip-flop straps threaded through her fingers, her bare feet crunching reindeer moss as she got deeper into the woods. He didn't want to continue following her, but he didn't want to be standing all by himself like an idiot either. "Have you ever found one?" Nick called, walking through shrubs and caught on the fabric of his shorts. He pulled himself free. "One what?" She was only a few feet away, looking closely at the sides of palm trees. It was grooved with shallow woodpecker holes. Nick jogged over to the wheezed, already out of breath. "Something out of the book." Lori frowned. "I don't know," she said finally. Sans furs had scratched thin lines on her calves, but she didn't even seem to notice. "I guess I've seen some weird stuff. Like, look at that way, the hill slopes over there." Nick squinted. He'd never been even this far in the woods, and he wasn't sure what he was supposed to be noticing about the hill even further on. But it was true that on the hill, long banging trees grew like a beard beside a strange-shaped boulder that resembled a sleeping eye. He shuddered. Either Lori's crazy or contagious, or he was getting a heat stroke. Looking down at his feet, Nick realized he was standing on a patch of clover. He glanced over at his stepsister, but he hadn't noticed, so he squatted down and ran his fingers through the green plants. Just as Nick was going to straighten up, he saw a single four-leaf clover. He reached out and carefully pinched it off at the stem. If he gave it to Lori, he bet that she'd agree to go back to the house. But he'd never found one before, and he wasn't sure he wanted to give it up. He twirled it once in his fingers. Somehow it suddenly seemed greener, more vivid, and through his vision had sharpened. Maybe the clover would make him lucky, and some other kid would move into the houses and save him from the summer with Lori. Searching through his pockets, they came up with a receipt that looked like it had been through the laundry once. He folded the clover inside it and tucked it back into his shorts. Lori squeaked as he looked over guiltily. She was looking up. Rain splashed on Nick in fat, warm drops. Summer Stormy said, "Let's go back." But Lori freaked that she was just lifted her hands up and spun around in her hair, plastered her neck, and skirt got soaked. "Come on, Nick," she said. "Let's pretend that we're tree spirits." That was the final straw for Nicholas. He didn't care if his dad yelled at him, leaving Lori by herself. He didn't care if she couldn't find her way back and get lost in the woods and an alligator ate her. He was going home and playing his video games, and that was that. Turning him back to her, he started walking. He followed the lake around, listening to the raindrops hiss as they hit a splat. The rain stopped as Nick stepped onto his own scraggly brown lawn. He sighed. It hadn't rained long enough to make any difference, just enough to annoy him. He walked in the door and went up to his room, where there were games he knew how to win. Lightning crackled, shooting horizontally through the sky, and thunder boomed. The rain hadn't started up again, but it sounded like it was going to come down hard when the storm blew all the way in. Nick concentrated. If he just collected a couple more mushrooms, he could give them to the old wise woman and collect the Blade of Ultimates. Suddenly, the room went black, and his scream powered off before he could just save or do anything but stare dumbly. He scrambled up off the bag in his new and shared bedroom. Downstairs, he heard his father's voice, but not what his father said. The lightning flashed again, and through the bedroom window, Nicholas saw a pale body out in the wide stretch of grass between the lake and the remaining wetlands. He squinted. Lori. He couldn't remember how long it had been since he came inside, and he wasn't sure if the sky had gotten dark because it was too late or because of the storm. But if that was Lori on the grass, why was she just lying there? What could have his mind shut away from completing the thought? After scrambling down the stairs, he ran to the back door. The lack of rain was rippling overpressive pressure in the air. The street lights weren't on, but flashes of lightning turned to the sky bright enough for Nick to see. He ran as fast as he could towards the body before everything went black again. Then he kept running through the dark, only to stop suddenly as he got close and choked up on the screen. A creature lay on its side, its green skin fading to white in places and dry as leaves. Its eyes were closed, and it didn't seem to have a nose, just two slits above a slash of a mouth. Weird tendrils stuck up from the creature's forehead, and brownish ribbons of grass covered its head like hair. It wasn't covered in purple glitter. It didn't have wings, but Nicholas had a sinking feeling that it was going to turn out to be a fairy anyway. And that is the end of chapter 2. I will see you guys tomorrow for chapter 3, and I hope you guys enjoy. Please share the video and like it, and listen to more. This was Hallie Longley for podcast. Bye!